What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Locked On Panthers podcast. Bill Rossetti of Panthers Wire back with you guys. It is Wednesday, March 27th. We are rolling through here. The owners' meetings seem to be pretty much in the books. And the big story out of the owners' meetings out of Phoenix is that pass interference is now completely reviewable. We all know, of course, of the non-call that happened in the NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams. It sounds like now that stuff like that will not happen again, as the NFL owners voted to allow pass interference, both called and not called, to be reviewable. It'll be like any old challenge. It's among any old challenge play or any other challenge play that the coaches can throw the challenge flag for before 2 minutes of the half, and then just like all the other challenges, after the 2 minute warning, it is a it would go to the booth. It would be an official's review if they decide to make the challenge call. Excuse me. So big step. I see the concerns of all the fans worrying that this is gonna slow the game down a little bit. But I don't think it really will too much. If it's going to slow any part of the game down, it's going to be the final 2 minutes. You know, it's because coaches still only get two challenges and a third if they win both challenges. So it's not like you can challenge every pass interference call. And obviously there's going to be other calls that the coaches are going to want to challenge too. So you're really not looking too much at the coaches and those challenges slowing the game down. It's going to be within the final 2 minutes when the officials have the ability to challenge just about every call, really. So if there's any concern, and I still don't think it's going to be that big of a concern, because how many of these types of plays are you really going to see within the last 2 minutes of a half or of the game? So I don't think this is as big of a deal in terms of slowing the game down and hurting the product as, you know, I've been seeing a lot of on social media. But it is obviously a important change. It's probably a change that had to happen because, as we know, things could have looked very different at the end of the playoffs had that pass interference been called. You know, we're not going to get into that now, but I think the timing of that just showed, or the timing of that play really helped necessitate the fact that the NFL had to do something, and they went ahead and they did it last night at the owners' meetings. There were some other rules changes, not really, I didn't even get a chance to see the whole, all the rules are like a breakdown of the rules. I know there's some with like roster flexibility during training camp and a couple other rules, but that obviously was the big one with the pass interference call. But I think on today's episode, we did a mock draft yesterday. I think we're going to go ahead and do a little bit of a mock draft roundup, because Panthers.com went ahead and they did another of their mock draft reports, and this time they went two rounds deep for some of the different mocks. So I think we'll continue on that stretch. We've done this a couple times. Check out just a roundup of a bunch of the mock drafts and just kind of give some takes. So the first one they went with was from Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. His latest two-round mock has the Panthers taking Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle out of Alabama at 16, and then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the safety out of Florida, at number 72. How the hell did I say 72? Good grief. My goodness. 47. Wow. Boy, you can tell it's early in the morning. But 47, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And look, these are obviously two big positions of need. We've touched on Jonah so much throughout this draft process. There's really, at this point, there's really not much more that needs to be said, to be quite honest, because of all the possibilities we've gone through, and we're still a couple weeks out in the draft. But Gardner-Johnson's not really someone that we've talked about quite that often, you know, especially as, you know, because a lot of the focus has been on the first round, obviously. But if we look at what they wrote about Gardner-Johnson, Ryan Wilson says, quote, his coverage ability makes him an attractive option for the Panthers, and he wrote about the concerns that Gardner Johnson had at his tackling ability, but still a pretty solid, safety. You know, I'd have to look a little bit more into him, but a second-round safety, especially if you don't get guys like Adderley or Deontay Thompson, some of those guys, it's a nice fallback option. And we talked yesterday about how there was a possibility of Rashawn Golden getting some work at the nickel spot, so there absolutely is. And even if he didn't, or even if even before we heard this news, we still talked about the possibility, the strong possibility, really, of the Panthers grabbing a safety at some point in this draft. So really, you know, you've got, whether it's in the first round or the second round, at this point, I think it's becoming more likely that very early it's going to be a safety. You know, would I like to see someone like Nasir Adderley at 16? Sure. But more than likely, it's either going to be an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. But this is still a two-round mock that definitely hits arguably the two biggest needs, or two of the biggest needs, outside of edge defender with those first two picks. The next one is Dan Kadar of SB Nation, and he also has Jonah Williams at 16, but then he goes with Zach Allen at number 47, the defensive end out of Boston College. Now, there's a lot of, how do I want to say this? There's a lot of variance, I guess, in terms of, do people like Zach Allen? Do some, because I've seen some love for Zach Allen. I've seen some players, or I've seen some analysts say he's kind of just another body at the defensive end position. So I don't know if, you know, if they like a guy like Zach Allen, part of me feels like he's someone that they can maybe get in round three. I don't know if they have to pull the trigger in round two. And, you know, I'd have to look at Dan Kadar's mock to see what other edge defenders were available at this point. But it is interesting, nonetheless, that Allen was the pick here. And Brian Strickland, who wrote up this article, does make note that Allen recorded at least six sacks each of the last 3 years for Boston College. And he notes that Allen has the size to be an interior rusher as well. And that's something we've seen a lot more teams do more of over the last couple of years. You know, we've seen the Eagles do it. Even back during their days that they were winning Super Bowls, the New York Giants did this quite a lot with guys like Justin Tuck and Jason Pierre-Paul, move them inside on passing situations. But Zach Allen is an interesting name to me in round two. I wonder if they would, if they'd be able to wait on him into round three, even if they want to trade up for him in round three using those two first-round picks. But obviously a little bit of a pattern there. Two guys both agreeing, and obviously if you look at a lot of mock drafts, Jonah Williams is going to be the guy that you're going to see quite often at number 16. Matt Miller of Bleacher Report released his latest mock, and he's got Brian Burns, the defensive end out of Florida State at 16, and Caleb McGarry at number 47. And Burns is a fantastic, and remember, the mock draft we did yesterday at FanSpeak using Matt Miller's board, we ended up with Brian Burns ourselves at number 16. And Burns is just a fantastic defensive end, and if he's there at 16, I would have no problem. This is why the ideal situation for the Panthers would be if a couple of those defensive ends fall to them at 16. If Burns is on the board and Farrell is still on the board and or Montez Sweat is on the board, then they could just pick and choose what defensive end they want. But if, you know, only one happens to follow them, then in a way it makes the decision easier. But Burns is outstanding, and we've seen this now for quite some time, you know, just to give them that youth that they so desperately need at the pass rusher position. And, you know, you look at some analysts, and I even mentioned that about Kyle Krabs, how much he really likes Brian Burns. I think Kyle has Burns as his second highest edge defender behind Nick Bosa. So, yes, even higher than Josh Allen, higher than Rashawn Gary. So, to get Burns at 16, I think would be absolutely fantastic. And then Caleb McGarry, obviously we know now of the story of Caleb McGarry. And Ben Solak, I'm going to obviously give him a shout-out because he's my boy, doing big things. If you follow, well, I shouldn't say if you follow, because if you watch football, you obviously follow Adam Schefter on Twitter. Adam shared Ben Solak's story from the Draft Network on Caleb McGarry, and certainly Twitter went berserk for Ben, you know, in a positive way. You know, congrats to Ben for getting that story shared on ESPN. And obviously it's a great story about the off-field issues, you know, the heart conditions, the health concerns that Caleb McGarry had been dealing with throughout his life, really, not just his football career, but he's obviously overcome those conditions to really put himself in position to be one of the top tackles in this draft class. You know, he might fall out of the first round because of those past conditions, but at least he's got the talent. And to get a guy, so far, this is probably my favorite mock draft of the first three we've talked about so far. You get a fantastic edge defender at 16, and you get a really good offensive tackle at number 47. And by the way, this was a three-round mock for Matt Miller. He also gave the Panthers David Sills at number 77 and Gerald Willis, the Miami defensive tackle, at number 100. And, well, actually, I didn't scroll enough. Those are actually the only three mock draft roundups, because, again, it's a two-round mock, so obviously you're not going to find too many mock drafts right now to fit this category, because, as we know, if you scour the interwebs, you're usually only going to see one-round mock drafts. But, like I said, Matt Miller's is probably my favorite, because I'd be perfectly fine with getting a guy like Caleb McGarry or maybe someone like Greg Little in round two if it means, you know, getting one of those edge defenders. Obviously, yeah, it does mean passing on Jonah Williams and Andre Dillard. But again, if that means landing Caleb McGarry or Dalton Risner in round two, then I'm all for it. Yeah, I don't know if Dalton Risner's are going to be there in the middle of round two. I could see him high round two, maybe even late round one, just because of his versatility and how strong he is, how strong he was at Kansas State. Definitely a personal favorite of mine. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have a problem with any of these. I mean, you're talking, especially Ryan Wilson's, you know, getting a solid safety there at number 47. And let's dig into him a little bit and kind of look at his bio. So we'll take some info here off of the NFL.com page from the Combine. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Cocoa, Florida. He was a junior, 5'11", 210 pounds, measured with 30 7/8 inch arms, 9 1/4 inch hands. His Combine results, he ran a 4.48 40, which is obviously very solid, especially for a defensive back. 17 reps on the bench press. 36 inches on the vertical jump, 117 inches on the broad jump, 7.03 three-cone drill, and a 4.2 shuttle, or 20-yard shuttle. He didn't run the 60-yard shuttle. And so I'll just read some notes from his player bio here on the NFL Combine page. Started 11 of 13 games as a junior, and they also know he actually lengthened his last name. He was just Chauncey Gardner. He added Johnson to it. To honor Brian Johnson, who he called Pops, who had been with his family since he was young. So that's how he got the name Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Started 11 of 13 games as a junior, 71 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks, led the Gators with 4 interceptions, and had 2 pass breakups. Also started all 11 games as a sophomore for Florida, 58 tackles, 6 for a loss, 2 interceptions, 7 pass breakups. And in 2016, as a freshman, he began as a reserve defensive back and was a special teams coordinator, and then eventually earned three starts toward the end of the season. Had 3 interceptions, which tied for the team lead. So 2 out of 3 years, he either tied or was the team leader in interceptions, including 2 interceptions in that year's Outback Bowl, becoming the first freshman to win the Outback Bowl MVP at Florida since Emmitt Smith. And then they have a bit of analysis from Lance Zierlein, who actually compares him to Nate Allen, who calls him Lance considers Chauncey a big athletic defensive back. I think some teams will see him as a big slot defender. He can blitz, he can support the run, handle zone duties, play man, cover tight ends. He does think some others will see him as a cover one high safety because of his range, his ball skills. And that wouldn't be bad for the Panthers, you know, because we know Eric Reed is pretty versatile. So you bring in a guy like Gardner Johnson, it could allow you to kind of mix and match with Eric Reed, especially in a cover three scheme that they like to run. So some of the strengths from Lance: likes his frame, well-built, athletic, agile, very versatile. He can play the slot, he can play high safety, he can play down safety. So again, with Eric Reed, you can really kind of mix and match things if you bring in a guy like him. He likes his mirror transitions from the slot, likes his speed, no hesitancy as a striker. So that's obviously a big thing. Ball size and power to separate the receivers from the ball, and especially with how many strong receivers you have in the NFC South, that's pretty important. Does have some weaknesses, as do all players. He feels his back pedal is a little tight and upright. Thinks he can improve his footwork in space as a safety. Creates coverage holes with excessive drops from high safety, and a few other things. Going back to the athleticism, he does say relies on athleticism over anticipation, which, you know, obviously that's something where sometimes that works for you, sometimes that gets you into trouble. But overall, it sounds like a solid guy, and they also have quotes from AFC scouts, AFC personnel directors, or NFC rather, but in this case, it's an AFC personnel director who says, quote, "Go watch the Florida State game from last year, and that is who he should be in the NFL. He's fast, and he will hit you. He's going to get cornerback love because of his size, but he's a free safety." And again, you know, that versatility, and that's kind of what you see anymore out of all these safeties. And it's kind of like when I got a chance to talk to Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, at the Combine, and I kind of asked him about the fact that he has Derwin James so versatile. Does it make it easier for him to find that second safety on the field? And Lynn made note of how he really likes safeties to be as versatile as possible, really likes them to be very interchangeable. And I think if you bring in a guy, you know, looking now at a guy like Chauncey here, you bring him into Carolina, you have that ability, you have that versatility with both your safeties between Gardner Johnson and Eric Reed. So, you know, now that I look more at it, and, you know, certainly I'll try to catch a little more film on him, but this is a bit of a fit now that I can definitely get behind in the second round, especially if you're going to move Rashawn Golden to the nickel and compete with Corn Elder, though Golden will probably get the first crack there. But I can kind of dig this. I would not have a problem with this. And again, that's the third mock draft with Zach Allen as the second rounder. Again, Zach Allen's just seems to be a very debatable, or he's been kind of one of the more debated edge defenders among a lot of draft analysts. So, you know, it'd be interesting if they actually pull the trigger on him in round two, or if he's someone that the Panthers or some of these other teams can feel they can wait until round three to get. But again, as far as those three mocks are concerned, I definitely like Matt Miller's, because I would be more than thrilled with Brian Burns in round one and Caleb McGarry in round two. So that's your mock draft roundup from the Panthers website. And again, two rounds deep, and in the case of Matt Miller's, three rounds deep. I think that's where we'll wrap it up for now. Nice little short pod today. We'll be back next time, of course, to talk more Panthers football, as we tend to do quite often here on the Locked On Panthers podcast. As always, thanks so much for the support and following the podcast. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Ricciete, RICCETTE. And remember to follow the podcast on our new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And of course, if you're driving in your car and you have a smart speaker, just jump in your car and tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Panthers. Simple as that. And you'll be hearing my lovely voice on your speakers. Hopefully you find it lovely. Like I said, love the support, love chatting with you guys. It's always fun to talk to the great fans of Panthers Nation. But I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy your day, everyone. And we'll see you next time right here on LOP. Until then, take care, my friends.